Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Friday, May 29th, 2026. Do I look the part today, chat? This is a consequence of my weekly dream where I'm a part of the Yankees front office and I restore world peace. But the world is pretty peaceful right now in terms of the Yankees. That's all we talk about on here. And we got a bunch to discuss today. Of course, it is Friday. Happy Friday, chat. Hope everybody is doing well. Congrats. We've made it to another end of the week. Of course, tonight starts a three-game set against the Sacramento A's. Late-night baseball tonight, 9:40 first pitch. Saturday night, 10 o'clock first pitch. And then Sunday, 4 o'clock. Three-game set against the A's. We'll preview that a little bit more later on. But we got a few things to discuss today. We're going to start off with a Yankee report from Jules Sherman of the New York Post, who mentions that the Yankees, the industry expects them to add a right-handed hitting catcher by the trade deadline. We're going to start off with that in just a second. We'll also talk from the very same article. Jules Sherman of the New York Post also mentioned that Cashman told the Post that the Yankees are having ongoing conversations about Carlos Agrané and basically when to officially convert him to a reliever, at least in the short term, to bring him up this year. We'll touch on all of that in just a little bit. But also a big part of the show is going to be talking the salary cap news from yesterday. So, of course, MLB first proposal to the Players Association came out yesterday, and with that, it was headlined by a $245 million salary cap that we know that's what MLB is looking for, is a salary cap. Players are going to say, no way, could lead to a lockout. If no agreement is reached by December 1st, then that's when that would commence the lockout. We'll touch on that probably for topic two, but I do want to start out with this, and yeah, that is that Joel Sherman says the expectations that the Yankees will add a righty hitting catcher by the trade deadline. Now, of course, this is an urgent need. Urgent as in you have to do it this year because this is a team that can win it all. And one of the biggest holes on this team besides the bullpen, which will also be improved come the trade deadline, is, of course, the catcher position. Austin Wells has been terrible, as we all know. Defensively, we always got to make sure we do give him his flowers, and that is not insignificant whatsoever, the fact that he's a very strong defensive catcher. And we've discussed this at length, but it's still fascinating that it's totally flipped what his prospect profile was compared to now, which was, you know, he's going to hit. At least that's the expectation. It's a matter of what's the defense going to look like. Well, that is totally flipped. He's a good, very sound defensive catcher, borderline great defensive catcher, one of the better backstops in the league defensively. Offensively, though, there's a lot to be desired. And that even was a narrative going into this year with Austin Wells, where he was coming off of a 20 homer season, OPS over 700. And it's almost like a reminder, I guess, of like, you know, the grass isn't always greener, because I was frustrated with Wells going into this year. And maybe I was a little out of line, but again, it goes with the expectations. Wells wasn't supposed to be even a 700 OPS bat. You thought he was going to hit, and we've seen him hit at times. You know, a couple weeks last year even, he would get hot, and it's like, all right, is this time? Is he going to get going? And then he would fall back down. This year, he seemingly hasn't gotten hot at all. He's had a couple good games here and there, but there really hasn't been much power. And forget all that. Everything that we've been talking about, you guys know, we don't got to harp on it all. But the main frustration with me with Wells is, no matter if a player is in a slump, no matter how bad they are, take it being Judge when he wasn't hitting, or whoever, Austin Wells, having a terrible season, no expectations. If there's a runner on third base, less than two outs, Chad, I don't care if it's me in the box, one of you in the box, you get that run in. No matter how bad you're slumping, no matter how bad a year you are having, figure it the hell out, is kind of what I'm saying. Wells hasn't been able to even do that, so it's a problem. Now, we know all that. What we already knew going into this year was that even with a good year from Wells, you don't want your backup catcher to also be left-handed. The Yankees have two lefty hitting catchers right now, three if you count Ben Rice, which you shouldn't. I don't think Ben Rice is a catcher. And I understand everybody saying, start Rice a catcher, start Rice. I was of that same mindset early on this year when it was a thing coming off of last season where the Yankees were willing to do that. I don't think they're willing to do that anymore. And with that in mind, I actually do kind of understand if that's the way that they are going, where it's, all right, if Rice is an option to catch, if he's been working out of the position and that was still something that was in the cards, all right, why isn't Wells starting more often behind the plate? The Yankees aren't going that route because I think they want him to be their cornerstone first baseman. Excuse me as this loud truck goes by. Very busy day outside in Hoboken, let me tell you. Beautiful Friday. Right before the show started, there were some kids outside who were One of them was nagging on the other one about how much money Juan Soto makes, which was hilarious. And anyways, if the Yankees want Rice to be their cornerstone first baseman and just for him to focus on that, I'm totally okay with that. So we're going to put Ben Rice off to the side. And I truly am, even though I look more shillish than ever today, I think that's a reasonable approach. You want Ben Rice to be your guy long-term, homegrown first baseman, one of the best hitters in baseball. Make him just learn the one position, which is first base. Fair enough. Put him off to the side. We knew, though, Wells and Ascara are both lefty hitters. Even if Wells had succeeded offensively so far this year and hadn't been a massive disappointment, the Yankees would need a righty catcher off the bench, ideally, because, you know, Wells, especially this year, has been brutal against left-handed pitching. Now, against righties, he is right around a league average hitter. Do with that what you will. No matter what, the need for a righty catcher, though, off the bench to at least platoon or just have that as an option, was a necessity going into this year regardless. Now, even more important that we get that deal done. And we had often discussed Ryan Jeffers of the Minnesota Twins. And we're still going to discuss Jeffers. Of course, he, though, had a Hammond injury recently. Of course, that's the wrist. That can affect hitters. We're not going to dive too much into that. But I will say, just because he had that Hammond injury doesn't mean he's off the table as a possible option. Jeffers will be healthy by the deadline. So if the Yankees want to go that route, they can. It still is a really good fit. He rakes against lefties. He's probably one of the better hitting catchers going right now. And he'll be healthy by the deadline. So if the Yankees want to go that route, they can. And we'll let that play out and see where we're at in a couple of months. But there is another name. Now, this name was not mentioned as a specific target in the Jules Sherman article. He did mention literally this thing, though, that the Yankees are expected to at least look to add a righty catcher by the trade deadline. A name that many people have been throwing out there, and I haven't paid too much attention to it, but for the first time I did do a little bit of a quote-unquote deep dive. And whenever I say deep dive, that means I check the fan graphs, look at the Baseball Savant, get a general idea, and then we go from there. And that's what we're doing here today. If this guy ends up becoming a Yankee, this is my introduction to him this morning, and it's Hunter Goodman of the Colorado Rockies. Now, he's interesting. First things first, righty catcher. He's not a bad defender. He actually is a pretty decent defender from what I understand. He hits for power. Now, the thing is, Hunter Goodman is not a free agent until after the 2028 season. And he hit 31 home runs last year. He is the Rockies' starting catcher, this guy we're looking at right here, Hunter Goodman. Now, for those listening on audio only, this year, he's been pretty damn good again. Now, of course, he is a Rocky, so yeah, the Coors Field effect, which I made sure to include WRC plus in these stats. So league average, park adjusted, he is a 100 WRC plus hitter. So a league average hitter. And for context, for those who don't fully understand WRC plus, very simple, 100 is league average. Anything you are above or below that is like Aaron Judge right now is at like a 160 WRC plus. That means he's 60% better than a league average hitter right now. Austin Wells, this will provide some context. Austin Wells is at a 68 WRC plus right now. So Austin Wells has been, what's the math on that? 32% worse than a league average hitter. Hunter Goodman would obviously be an upgrade offensively. The stats this year, 238 average, 300 on base, slugging 466, has 12 home runs. Let me run this video one more time because I wasn't even watching it myself. 31 home runs he hit last year. He was a 118 WRC plus bat. So this dude's a good hitter. He's a righty bat. The defense, from what I understand, which to be completely transparent here, obviously I don't watch this guy every single day. All I can go off of is what, you know, I read, which at this point admittedly is not that much. It's a couple articles, fan graphs, Baseball Savant. From what I understand, he's a pretty reliable defender, if not better than that, but I don't want to speak out of tune. This dude can hit, though, and obviously offensively, he would be an upgrade over Austin Wells to the point where, you know, we've often talked about how, you know, you got to celebrate, not celebrate, but yeah, like to make sure the argument always is being laid out in good faith, you got to acknowledge the good defense that Wells does provide. That's not insignificant. With that said, you know, we were often saying the Yankees like Wells in large part because of that defense. If they were to go out and get Ryan Jeffers, I would imagine, at least to start out, Wells would still be the everyday catcher. Against righties, he's been around a league average hitter. And, you know, that doesn't mean come ALDS game one, it wouldn't be whoever you acquire. Say it is Ryan Jeffers or whoever. Doesn't mean they're not starting come game one of the postseason. We've seen that time and time again. Jose Caballero being an example of that, where you initially acquire somebody for a certain role, and then before you know it, they're starting every single day. That is, you know, tale as old as time. So with that in mind, I still anticipated Wells, and I still do, that Wells will be getting a bulk of the playing time at catcher in most scenarios, most circumstances. If they would require Hunter Goodman from the Rockies, who again, 31 homer bat last year, this is their starting catcher, and we'll get into a potential return and what it would take in just a moment, because that's a big part of this. Hunter Goodman is in a tier above like Ryan Jeffers. Now, Jeffers is good. From what I understand, Goodman's a better defender. But the point is, Goodman really can hit. And last year, like in a full season, put up like one of the better offensive years from a catcher in the sport. If you acquire him, I mean, I'm sorry, Hunter Goodman is your starting catcher. So with that in mind, that's exciting. That's an avenue I would certainly like to explore. Of course, though, him being one of the better offensive catchers in baseball, the Rockies' literal starting catcher with multiple years of control. With Jeffers, you know, he's a rental. He's a free agent year's end. So it wouldn't cost all that much in return. Hunter Goodman would, though. Now, of course, it's the Colorado Rockies. What are they always looking for? Starting pitching. We have a surplus of that. What would it take? Obviously, I don't know specifically. The Yankees wouldn't know yet specifically unless they've already had a conversation, which is probably too early for them to even have made the phone call. Maybe they have. I don't know. But if he is available and the Yankees pick up the phone, the Rockies would right away be asking for... It would be... They might ask for Will Warren, to be honest. Again, right-handed hitting catcher, 31 home runs last year, solid defender from what I understand, under control through 2028. So what is that? Rest of this year, 2027. So 2.5 years of control you'd be getting this guy for. An everyday starting catcher with power, 2.5 years of control. That's not going to be cheap, which we all know. I'm not giving up Will Warren for him. Prospects, Elmer Rodriguez. Now, I've read some articles that list Elmer as in the tier of untouchable for the Yankees, actually. Who just buzzed me? Oh, nothing. It would cost, they would ask for Will Warren. I don't think the Yankees would give up Will Warren. Obviously, they're not going to give up LeGrand Hay, and he's not worth LeGrand Hay. He may not even be worth Elmer. But he isn't worth a bag of balls either. We'd have to be willing to give up something that would hurt. I'm not willing to go as far as Will Warren. And look at what I'm wearing today, Chad. I make the decisions around here. I'm basically Brian Cashman Jr. I wish. No, I don't. I'm a proud son of Dan Rourke Sr. Anyways, Will Warren, I'm good. Now, with that in mind, of course, looking ahead to next year, the Yankees do have Clark Schmidt returning at some point later in this season. Clark will be a member of the starting rotation come 2027 if there is baseball. We'll talk about the potential lockout in just a second. Clark's return would make Warren a little more expendable, but I really would like to avoid that. But the point I guess I'll get at here is, and we'll let it, you know, carry on from here. This, we have months to discuss about this. At least initial ask, I think it would be to the level of the Rockies would want a guy like Will Warren. After that, who is there? Well, there's the prospects, which we have a surplus of. Elmer, I don't know if the Yankees would want to go that route. I'd be definitely more down to do that than Will Warren. But maybe it would just be a surplus of guys below the Elmer tier, below the Will Warren tier, but a few of them. If you were to give them, you know, a couple starters, whether it be, you know, one decently touted starter, and then on top of that, like a Brendan Beck, maybe you include J.C. Ascara in that deal as well. So like the Rockies, are you're giving up your starting catcher, we'll give you some starting pitching, which we know you want, and also here's J.C. Ascara. You can look at him as your starting catcher for the next 5 years. So with that in mind, the return may be a pretty steep ask, but absolutely. Am I down for Hunter Goodman? Yes, I am. And if they were to acquire Hunter Goodman, it's not like a Ryan Jeffers thing. It's one, because he's better hitter, one of the better offensive catchers in the sport right now, years of control. Like, you acquire him, he's kind of like, that's your starting catcher as far as I'm concerned. And given what the return would have to be, you would think that's how the Yankees would think too. Now, again, no matter what, Austin Wells, you're going to see him continue to catch games. I'm sure he'll get a start here and there, even the postseason, if we do acquire Hunter Goodman. But this would be, you know, actually looking at his stats, I mean, I was kind of excited. I'm thinking, this is something to where, you know, the bullpen, we know we have to upgrade, and they will. But offensively, you know, third base, I wouldn't look at that as a clear lane to upgrade, because it's already going to be upgraded by, they're probably going to play Jose Caballero a lot against righty pitching. Now, McMahon continues to come up with clutch, you know, home runs all the time, and just rare, like, He looks bad. He called for his job, and then all of a sudden he comes through a big moment. So McMahon will still get some playing time. We know Rosario will play third against lefties, but whether it be Caballero against lefties, Grisham sits, you put Caballero in left, Volpe being the shortstop, Third base, I think, is more so often than not going to be Caballero's position going forward to a degree. A lane to upgrade offensively, though, would be catcher, who's available. Well, at first, it's like not many offensive catchers that are out there, not many clear upgrades, despite how bad Austin Wells has been. You know, any sort of upgrade probably would be significant. I guess what I'm saying here is Hunter Goodman gets me a little more excited than Ryan Jefferson. You guys know I like, and I still like, even with the hamate injury, he'll be healthy by the deadline. You can go out and get him. Goodman, though, would be like, I almost want to start writing out a lineup. When I'm thinking of Ryan Jefferson, I'm not, I like it because the versatility of it, and of course, no matter what, that would be an upgrade over Wells so far. And no matter what, Wells has to just be better than he's been because he's going to keep playing to a degree no matter what. And again, runner on third, less than two outs, I don't care who it is. Raise Babe Ruth out from the ground, like he should get the runner in, less than two outs, runner on third base. With that said, though, Hunter Goodman, I almost want to like start writing out a lineup surrounded around that upgrade that would be, because that'd be a move right there. If the Yankees were to get this deal done, which I have no issue with getting my hopes up, because you know if they have to come back down, I'll deal with it then. It's fine. I'm not going that far right now anyways, but at least, you know, we know the Yankees, per Joel Sherman, are expected to look at right-handed hitting catchers. There's Jeffers, there's Goodman. I'm sure there's some other names out there as well. But out of all the things that we've discussed offensively to possibly upgrade this year, which we're still so early into this, so we'll really get more into the trade deadline over the next month and a half, and obviously 2 months, the deadline's August 3rd this year, we're getting there. We're still a little bit far away. For now, though, this is definitely the most intrigued I've been by a potential trade acquisition. Hunter Goodman, again, 31 home runs last year. Coors Field, but league adjusted, you go by WRC plus. He's a league average hitter, 100 WRC plus. So assuming what I've read is accurate and my understanding of it is correct, he's a solid defender, so it wouldn't be like a massive drop off there. Because you wouldn't want to do that. If he's a terrible defender, again, say what you will about Austin Wells, he does handle the pitching staff great. He's a really good defensive catcher. You wouldn't want to just fall off a cliff there. That's not what we want to do. And, you know, Rice, I want to bring this example up too. We got to also remind ourselves, Rice is not a great defender behind the plate. He's just not. Now, of course, the benefit of that is Goldschmidt's been really good this year. You start Rice behind the plate, not only do you essentially replace position to position Wells with Ben Rice, but you also get Paul Goldschmidt in there. I understand, I absolutely understand the want there, but I understand it more if you're somebody that never complained about players playing out of position previous years, not this year, but previous years of the Yankees' lack of, you know, fundamentals or just not being defensively sound, guys playing out of position. If that didn't bother you in the past and you're really advocating hard for Rice to not only get some time at catcher, but to be the starting catcher, I think that's fair. But if you're somebody that really complained a lot, which is very understandably so, I did too, about, yeah, guys playing out of position, the lack of good defense, wanted to put Rice behind the plate, who would make the Yankees a worse defensive team, I just don't think that's the way to go. One of the things I love about this squad so much, like almost as much as I love this pitching staff, is the defense and how much improved we are in that area. That is something that, you know, people always talk about the 2024 World Series team. And by default, because of where they got, it's like, oh, that's the best team we've had in a while. That's the best. That team's better than this year. I don't see that to be true at all. Now, I often joke, but I do kind of mean it. The 2023 Yankees, as long as Judge is healthy, the 2023 Yankees get through that American League that year. So just because that team went to the World Series doesn't mean it's better than this squad. And in my opinion, it's almost nowhere close, even without Juan Soto. And it's quite easy for me to say that because Ben Rice has since replaced the production of Juan Soto. We'll see if that continues. I have every reason to believe that it will, so I'm not worried about that. But a big difference between why I think this year's team is so much better, almost night and day, especially going into the postseason this year than past years, 2024, whatever it may be, is the defense. We are a great defensive team. Very fundamentally sound. It's not the same old Yankees as, you know, some people like to say that they are. They're not. Putting Rice behind the plate, that would be a downgrade defensively. And, like, we don't want that. And, again, it's more so for me, if it's an option, if you were working out there, all right, every now and then, give them a start there, especially if the offense is struggling like it was prior to Kansas City. But they want him to be the cornerstone first baseman, and I think that's the way to go. So with that said, it's either Austin Wells, he starts hitting, which no matter what, he has to at least start being competent at the plate, and slash or, emphasis on the or, you bring in another catcher. And Hunter Goodman is somebody I'm certainly interested in, and the more and more I talk about it, it's quite easy for me to get geared up at the thought of it. So yeah, That is from Jules Sherman. Yankees expect to add a right-handed hitting catcher by the trade deadline, or at least that's their hope. They're going to look to pursue that. Some other notes before we get into the salary cap thing. There was also a quote from, well, not a direct quote, but this is what was said in the article, that Cashman told the New York Post that there has been an ongoing discussion within the Yankees front office that has continued on when to move LeGrande to the pen to see what he could do for the 2026 team, which, you know, you look at the ERA as a starter, it's not great. It's over four. Walks have been an issue. We know about this stuff, though. I would say it should be any day now, honestly. Like, at some point in June, start converting him to a reliever. Not long term, but in the short term, that might be the biggest upgrade available to us this year out of the bullpen. Now, of course, we got to acquire multiple high leverage arms. I want at least two. You bring in LeGrand, hey, there's a chance, given his stuff, not over six innings, but 1 to 2 innings like we saw in spring training, he could be your best reliever in the pen come the postseason, even with some big-time acquisitions. That's how good this dude can be. And, you know, all of a sudden, we're past Memorial Day. It's 2 months away from the trade deadline. Time flies. I mean, opening day was March 25th. Like, we're over 2 months of the season now, over a third of the way done. Before we know it, we will be at the trade deadline. Before we know it, we will be at October. So, like, we're kind of getting there to where you start to think about these things more, whether it be Hunter Goodman, looking at other options, starting to get specific names with bullpen trade candidates, thinking about LeGrande and when to convert him to a reliever for this season. And we're kind of at that point because, you know, I know the bullpen will be upgraded. Of course it will be. And I think we're now about 24 to 48 hours away from being done talking about the Tampa Bay Rays atop the American League East. With that said, the bullpen remains an issue, and the bullpen can cost you games. The bullpen can cost you, it can be the reason why you don't get the one seed in the American League, which is very important, pivotal, because the Yankees under Boone, for this is one reason, have never lost a series where they were the lower seed. We know how much better they are at home compared to the road. You want home field advantage throughout the American League in the playoffs, and what a difference that would be if you have home field advantage over the Dodgers in the World Series. And because of how thin the AL is, say what you will about whether the Yankees are better than the Dodgers or not. Most people would say they're not. I think upside they can be, to be honest, or at least on their level. You have home field advantage in the World Series. I mean, that could change everything. So with that in mind, while I think the bullpen, and I know it, will be upgraded by the deadline, hopefully the next 2 months we don't lose some games because of the bullpen that ends up leading to us falling to the two seed in the American League instead of the one. Or, God forbid, not winning the American League East, which I think would be to the Blue Jays, not the Rays. The Blue Jays won again last night. Take them seriously. You can take the Rays seriously, too, if you'd like. As a contender, the Rays are just about done when it comes to the American League East. I'll eat my words if I have to, but there's no sweat about the possibility of that happening, to be honest. Anyways, that was also from Cashman. He was also talking about how, I guess what I'm saying here, that's probably why I'm saying it subconsciously, is, over the next month or two, you figure out what can be figured out internally, whether it be Austin Wells turns it around, some bullpen upgrades via a call-up of LeGrand, whatever it may be, and then what do you have to acquire externally to improve the team that you can't improve on internally. So, pretty good article from Jules Sherman this morning, as always, because he's a freaking goat. Anyways, let's move on to this. Now, full disclosure, I'm not exactly, I come at this from like a weird angle. Like, I don't know much about how exactly all of this would work, but we're talking the MLB salary cap or the MLB CBA negotiations. So, of course, this current deal that they're under will expire December 1st if both the MLB, sometimes that makes sense. If I were to say the MLB trade deadline, that grammatically makes sense, but it is just MLB, not the MLB. MLB and the Major League Baseball Players Association, if they don't come to a deal by December 1st, that's when the lockout will begin. Now, of course, when you have a lockout, it doesn't necessarily mean that you won't play a full 162-game season. We did see a lockout back after 2021, and, you know, that delayed spring training, but before, it became too catastrophic, they did eventually reach a deal. Season started late, like end of the first week in April. I think April 6th was opening day that year. Point is, though, we still ended up playing 162 games. So most people are expecting that there will be a lockout, as in there won't be a deal reached by December 1st. Doesn't necessarily mean we'll lose games, but most people believe that we will. And a big reason is because MLB the owners are pushing hard for a salary cap. And that salary cap in their first proposal, yesterday, is $245.3 million. A $245 million salary cap is MLB's initial proposal, with a salary floor of $171.2 million. And it also would include a 50-50 split of revenues. And that's very interesting. So just to be completely, you know, right off the bat here, get to the point, obviously, if you don't know, this isn't happening. MLB players want nothing to do with that. It puts a cap on what they can make. It's a, I don't even know how many billion-dollar industry baseball is. Things are going very well for Major League Baseball. Of course, though, there's the large separation between teams like the Dodgers, the Mets, us, and with that, you know, mention those teams, got to acknowledge that, obviously, we would have to come down in payroll quite significantly. The Yankees right now are at, this year, $330 million-ish. Next year, you know, there's money also coming off the books, whatever. They're already over next year before signing any contracts in this offseason, any further money added. The Yankees would already have to navigate their payroll significantly down to get under if this cap were to exist, which it won't, but it's what the owners want. And that obviously applies to the Dodgers. It applies to the Mets. What's interesting here is many things, because again, the cap, the players want nothing to do with that. You put a cap on it and all of a sudden, all right, there's a limit to how much money you can make. You know, there's, I don't even know how it would work with the Yankees. Like, you're not going to restructure contracts. You would have to like dump contracts. I mean, it almost feels like it would have to come with expansion, and then you'd have an expansion draft of like, I don't know how exactly that would work, to be honest with you. Like, besides just, all right, yeah, you cut payroll, but it's not like you could just release guys. Bottom line is the cap has been something that the owners have been wanting for a long time. The players want nothing to do with it. And everything that we've heard slash expect from the players is that they are going to hard reject this really no matter what. And obviously the way negotiations work is you don't, you know, put all your chips on the table to begin with. You kind of go hard at first and then have a backup plan in mind, or more so a way to progress in negotiations where, all right, we want a hard cap. We want a hard cap. Players saying, no way, no way. And then might get to a point where owners say, all right, no cap, but we want this, we want that, we want those things. And then the players will probably decline that as well. Now, there's some things like instead of 6 years of control before free agency, players you know, would want five. There's league minimum changes where right now the league minimum in baseball is, I think, 600 grand to 700 grand, right around there. There could be an increase to its 1.5 league minimum. Then if you get to free agency after 5 years, not six, that obviously incentivizes the players as well. But there's a way I could lay this out, and it makes it seem like, oh, a salary cap makes sense. It's more fair and balanced. But what's also interesting is the notion of the floor, it being at $171 million. Understand, the owners have agreed to this proposal. So that means the owners, and this, of course, includes the teams that are well below that number, are already cool with the idea of raising their salary, their payroll to $171 million. Now, that is interesting, but also got to keep in mind, this would be under the terms of also a 50-50 revenue split, which means the Yankees aren't taking in directly all the money that they make from, like, the YES Network, for example, or all the money that they make directly. Now, again, I don't fully understand this. I'm sure there's some things that hopefully I'm not speaking out of tune here, but just my general understanding is instead of getting their money directly, it would be the money that the Yankees get, the money that everybody gets put into a pool. And as it says here on the screen, 50-50 split of revenue. So the teams that are on the lower end of money made in baseball, which is still a lot, would see an increase in revenue. Now, another benefit to the way this salary cap is proposed is teams would then pay less in luxury tax penalties. Of course, the way it works right now is you have the you know, the tier of luxury taxes. The Yankees, Dodgers, Mets are all above like that main final tier of $304 million. Every dollar you spend over that tier is taxed 100%. So, you know, the Yankees are paying Judge $40 million. They're really paying him, I think $60 million is how it works. So I guess it's a 50% tax increase. Anyways, you guys kind of know how that works. That would go away under a salary cap, so less money paid in tax penalties. So, you know, that is more money to be able to contribute to the payroll. But again, players aren't going to be about this. So will a salary cap happen? Everything from what you understand is, no, it won't. That's what the owners want. That's been what the owners want since, you know, way back when, going back to the early 90s strike in 94. But it just seems like that's just never going to happen. But they want it. The players, though, will never accept it. The players, though, they have their asks and stipulations that they're requesting. And, you know, they're far off, obviously. This is, as I think John Heyman or somebody put it in their article about it this morning, that it was Ken Rosenthal, that, you know, we're in, like, the first inning of this, if that. Like, he was mentioning, like, if you were to consider this a nine-inning game, these negotiations, we might not even be at the first inning. They might not even be at the ballpark just yet. Like, this is very, very early, and, like, nobody expected this first proposal to, like, go over well. But ultimately, we knew what it would be, and that's a proposal from MLB that includes a salary cap starting in 2027. What we're getting at here is we know there will be a lockout of some degree. Like, they won't reach an agreement by December 1st in all likelihood. Will we miss games? That's ultimately I care about. And that's where I think people get a little annoying about, you know, like, well, first of all, like, yeah, sim for the owners. I'm not doing that because I don't care. I'm not sim for the players either. Like, the players, something I disagree with often is, I don't disagree with, but it's like, obviously the players are what makes a game go round. They're what brings in the money that these owners get that makes them so rich and all this and that. That is fair. But I'm sorry, like, just like the owners aren't baseball, the players aren't baseball either. Like, the game will move on past them. The game will move on past the owners. Like, a rant I had in the offseason was, you know, people be like, when the Yankees are doing bad, it's like, don't give them their money. Like, you're just enabling the problem. It's like, nah, like, I don't. Brian Cashman isn't the Yankees. Hal Steinbrenner, as far as I'm concerned, maybe to a lesser degree, this example, but, like, he's not the Yankees. The Yankees are the Yankees, and I'll be here long past them. Baseball is not Rob Manfred. Baseball is not Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, at some point, will be in a retirement home, and I will send him letters and say, I love you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the ring in 2026. He's not baseball. Manfred's not baseball. Baseball is baseball, and baseball will be here forever. That's all I care about. So I don't care about the owners. I don't care about the players. Figure it out. And obviously, that's not going to get a deal done. That isn't progressing the conversation at all whatsoever. Nothing that we say will. We just got to hope they figure it out. Because if they don't, that means we won't have baseball next year. And that would suck. So, like, that's ultimately all I care about, yo. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? It's not a thing where I have to, you know, go with the owners because they're billionaires. I don't care. Go with the players because they're being selfish and, you know, they want more money. They're not being selfish, by the way. More often than not, most people are in it to get theirs. I understand that. Well, I'm in it to get mine. I like watching baseball. That's what mine is. Figure it out. I want to watch baseball. Like, that's kind of where I'm at. Bottom line is, though, the salary cap ain't going to happen. So what's the way around that? I have no idea, chat. So thank God I'm not in the negotiations room. Although, if I showed up wearing this this polo, I might get some things done. I love wearing this shit. Let me tell you. This is my dream. I would flip burgers wearing this shirt. You know? As long as they have TVs that I can see the game at. So, yeah, that's the latest on the salary thing or the salary cap. Again, just the first proposal. We're not going to cover this every single time that it's a new information is revealed about it. But, you know, off day today, and it was the first, like, proposal. So it's a story. The salary cap has been a story. I'm sure we'll talk about it today on Baseball Today. I haven't seen the email that Chris Rose sent just yet, but I'm sure it's topic one or two. With that in mind, though, we don't have to worry about it just yet. We will have, of course, the rest of this season. And wow, so now that I think about it, this might be obvious information. I was born in 2000, so I wasn't alive in 94. The CBAs back then must have expired mid-season. That's crazy. I assume that's how that worked. Like, now it expires December 1st, which they won't reach an agreement by then. We'll go to a lockout, quote-unquote. We'll see if we miss games. But back then, I guess, I mean, you guys let me know. I can also look it up right after the show. But the CBA must have, during 94, back then it expired in-season. Makes sense that they probably wanted to be like, all right, let's not have that happen again. But yeah, well, this all remains to be seen. Again, we won't cover it too much. Like, not every time there's a proposal will we cover it. I wouldn't be shocked if this is the last time we honestly talk about it for the rest of this season. And then in the offseason, you know, it'll be a different story. But yeah, so that is the latest there. $245 million salary cap for 2027. That's MLB's proposal with a salary floor of $171.2 million. You guys let me know how you feel. Again, I don't know all that much about this really at all, just from what I read. So your guess is as good as mine. Your thoughts, as always, are as good as mine. Let me know in the comments what you think. I don't know, maybe you can provide some insight. And I'm sure there were some things I said here that maybe sounded off. Hopefully not. Like, again, I'm not fully versed in how all of this works. What I am, though, chat, and what I am a genius is New York Yankees baseball. Just kidding. Just kidding. And I'm kidding about just kidding. That's just me being humble, chat. Nah. This is what I like to talk about, baseball. This is what I'm talking about, yes. Yankees begin a three-game set with the A's in Sacramento starting tonight. Now, the A's have hit a little bit of a skid lately. They at least for a minute, were in first place in the West. They have, so they've lost three in a row. They've lost four of their last, or they lost six of their last 10. They're 27 and 29. Second place in the AL West, half game behind the Mariners, who, their Mariners have won three in a row. They're still not at 500 yet. It's crazy. You just see, even like the Blue Jays, if I wasn't checking on them every day, I would just figure it's like, they've won a few games in a row. Are they finally back over 500? Not yet. The Mariners, same deal. They're 28 and 29. They lead the AL West, though. The A's, who are playing tonight, they're 27 and 29. They've hit a skid a little bit lately. And tonight in game one, another reminder, late games, 9:40 first pitch tonight, 10:05 on Saturday, 4 o'clock on Sunday. Carlos Rodon versus Luis Severino. Now, we faced Sevy back in the stadium a couple months ago, and we ended up not having a great game against him despite scoring early. I think he had a lot of walks. He went, like, I think 5 innings, 2 runs, something along those lines. We'll see how we do against him tonight. Of course, last time in Sacramento, we won the series last year, if not swept. Should have checked that ahead of time. Apologies for that. Whenever I think of last year's Sacramento series, all I can think about is Jason going deep three times, which, again, reminder on the updates, Stanton was cleared to run. I think we could see him as soon as a week from today against Boston. Jason, he also is starting baseball activities. He is probably starting a rehab assignment next week. Anyways, for the Yankees, though, Carlos Rodon, he looked way better in his start last time out. Now, he is pitching, of course, on the road tonight. He's been way better in his Yankee tenure at home than on the road, but the A's, their offense is scuffling a little bit lately. With that said, you know, it's still the strong suit of their team. We'll see how Rodon does against the A's tonight. Game two will be Ryan Weathers, who, of course, has been terrific. 3.14 ERA in 10 starts so far this year. For the A's, it'll be JT Jin, who is 2-3 with a 3.19 ERA right-hander. So first two games, Rodon versus Severino. Sevy, of course, being a righty. Game two, Weathers versus Ginn. Weathers lefty, Rodon lefty. For the A's, Ginn is a right-hander as well. So we're facing two righties out of the gate. And then game three, our righty, Will Warren, 6-1, 3.55 ERA, will go in game three. To be announced still for the A's, who they're starting in game three. But that's like, you know, quote-unquote nitty-gritty of the series preview. I gave you the pitching matchups. You could have just checked them. We'll be at bat. But no, just vibes going into this series. Yankees are playing well. That series against Kansas City, which I know Kansas City is bad, but obviously that was very important for them to string those three wins in a row because you have the Rays finally hitting the skids, and we've talked about it a lot. They've lost four in a row. We've won four in a row, starting with that walk-off against Tampa Bay on Sunday. This is a good time to pick it back up, and it was right around when we said, all right, it's time to get going here. Like, yeah, we can't control the teams that we face, the Royals being one of them. Well, what do? They're a bad team. Yeah, they are. Well, we won the entire series, swept them three straight. So tonight against Oakland, Sacramento, are they as bad as the Royals? No, obviously not. Are you better than them? Are you better than them, though? Obviously you are. So just to keep it simple, you want to win this series. And then going into next week, you got Cleveland, who's a pretty damn good team every single year, you know, not projected to be anything crazy. And then before you know it, they win the division. They come off of some miracle. We face them plenty of times, of course. They'll be coming to the stadium on Tuesday for a three-game set. And then we have Boston coming on Friday. So three against the A's starting tonight late. We'll be, of course, live for that first pitch at 9:40. So we'll be live probably around 9:15 for the watch party. Not sure yet if we'll be live for Saturday night's game. I'll keep you guys posted on that. I might be going back home. I got a lot of laundry to do. Off day on Monday. So we were off yesterday, of course. Much needed off day, you know. And it was nice having an off day, especially coming off a sweep. Off days after a sweep are great. That's like one of those days where, on the contrary, if you were to have gotten swept or like just aren't playing well, you know, you don't probably watch much baseball on that Thursday off day. You might not watch quick pitch in the morning. I don't watch too much MLB Network these days. I got beef with them because the way they treated my boy Chris Rose. You know, back when I was a kid, it'd always be like, Yankees playing well? Word. I watch quick pitch. I watch MLB Network all day long. When they're not playing well, I kind of, to a degree, would avoid the game of baseball as a whole for a day. Well, yesterday's off day. I was watching highlights. I was, you know, getting all ready for today. I got all my series preview things ready. Got everything ready. My pregame. I'm ready to go, and I'm excited. I'm excited for tonight's game. I love late night baseball. You know, every single time you watch a Yankee game, you kind of figure you're going to get a good pitching performance. The only rotation with a better starting rotation ERA than us is the Tampa Bay Rays with a 2.97 ERA. We have a 2.98. And I'll tell you, you know, I don't even got to tell you. Take a guess which one is more sustainable, chat. But anytime you see, you know, whatever Yankee starter is pitching that day, the worst of it right now being, you know, you probably feel the least best about Carlos Rodon. I like Rodon more than most do, but you got to admit, even if you're not a huge Rodon fan, that being, if you do consider Rodon to be their worst starter, which I don't, there's worse problems to have. Even talking about the postseason rotation, where it'd be, you know, some variation of Cole, Cam, Fried, your first three in some order, and then your fourth is Carlos Rodon. Like, I think even the biggest Rodon hater can't be like, oh, that's a bad postseason rotation because your fourth starter is Carlos Rodon. Anyways, Rodon tonight, Weathers tomorrow on Saturday, and then Will Warren Sunday in Game 3. Those are two of the three better pitchers in the American League going right now, and those two pitchers, Weathers and Warren, in all likelihood will not be in the starting rotation come October. So we know about our depth. We know about potential to win every single night because of our starting rotation, and that remains the case even when the offense isn't going and when Judge isn't hitting. Well, Judge is back on track, as we knew he would be. The offense, against Kansas City, but at some point you knew they would start to get going to a degree, and, you know, not that it was entirely due to bad luck, but like Grisham for a while was having terrible luck. Now that's starting to change a little bit. He's getting hot. Jazz, over a prolonged period now, has been hitting the ball pretty damn well, over 30 games, OPS like near 900 in that span. And yeah, Judge is getting going again. Rice was looking good in Kansas City. So even when the offense isn't going, our pitching always gives us a chance to win. Well, the offense, though, is starting to click. We'll see what they do against the A's tonight. And yeah, win the series. Just keep on winning series and, you know, never going to predict a sweep. And I wouldn't do that against the A's. The A's are a solid team and should be a playoff contender this year. And I think they probably will be. It's still so hard to say that, though, because it's like, you know, what is the American League even going to look like? We'll close with this. All I know is it better look like with us. Better look like a seeding that has us as the number one check. Home field advantage is very, very important, as is winning the AL East and having a better record than every other team in baseball. And it's not just because we're a good team and we can do that. It's because of our competition. Got to get fat against the American League. And I won't throw the A's in that category. I would throw the Royals in that category, which we did. But with that said, you are better than the A's. So win 2 out of 3. That's the baseline expectation really going into every single series. And then we'll go from there. But yeah, that's going to do it for this episode of today's Morning Yankees Show. Of course, we are 5 days a week. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that. And in regards to this show, we'll be back Monday morning, either at 8 a.m. live or 9 a.m. live. I'll let you guys know. But I'll see you guys tonight, though, for the watch party. First pitch, 9:40, and we'll be live right around 9:15 at the latest, 9:30. But yeah, beautiful day outside. Going to be like 78 on the East Coast. Sunny, blue skies, chilling. That's all I got. You guys have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you tonight. Yankees A's in Sacramento. Until then, have a great rest of your day, and let's go Yanks.